So we'll begin. And this kind of came from something that John G. Lay wrote way back. It's called Christ's Dominion. And I'm going to have Wendy read a paragraph. Go ahead.
The purpose of Yahushua in the world was to show us the Father. So Yahushua came and committed himself publicly at his baptism at the Jordan before all the world in these words, unto all righteousness. To do the will of Yahweh, he willed not to obey his own natural human will, but to do the will of the Father and to be wholly and solely and entirely obedient to the will of Yahweh. He declared, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. When a man is born of Yahweh, he becomes a part of the body of the Christ, a Christ man. If the world wants to see Christ, it must look upon the Christian who is the Christ man, just as we who want to look upon the Father and understand him look upon the man, Yahushua, who was the embodiment of the Father. Everything that Yahushua did was the will and the word of the Father. So everything the Christian does, if he's a real one, should be the will and word of Yahushua the Mashiach. The Christian commits himself as entirely to the will of Yahushua and becomes a Christ man as Yahushua committed himself to the will of the Father and became King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Okay. Amen. So, that's what we're going to be discussing. So we go to John 14. Verse 8. Philip said unto him, Yahushua, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Yahushua said unto him, so long a time as this have I been with you, and thou hast not come to know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How art thou saying, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The things which I am saying unto you, for myself I speak not, but the Father within me abiding does his works. So let's just remember, the point of the teaching is that as he showed the Father, our lives are supposed to show Christ. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else on account of the works themselves believe me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works which I am doing, he also shall do. And greater than these shall ye do, because I unto the Father am going. And because whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, the same will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If anything you shall ask me in my name, the same will I do. If you be loving me, my commandments you will keep. And I request the Father, and another advocate will he give unto you, that he may be with you age abidingly, the Spirit of truth. What's going to enable us to manifest Christ is Ruach, the Spirit, which the world cannot receive because it beholdeth it not nor getteth to know it. But ye are getting to know it, because with you it abideth and in you it is. I will not leave you bereaved. I am coming unto you yet a little, and the world no longer beholdeth me, but ye behold me, because I live, ye also shall live. In that day shall ye get to know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So just think of that relationship. As we have Christ and Yahweh abiding in us, that when people see us, they see Christ, which also manifests Yahweh. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. So you get to see Christ came to reveal the Father. We receive Holy Ruach in order to reveal Christ. And so when people look at our lives, they should say, I see Christ in your life. We are the body of the Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. And when do you want to read 12 through 27? So just remember, realize everybody has different functions. So some people are going to draw more attention than others. But if we do our function as we are part of the members of the body of Christ, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. And that's what's going to manifest Christ in that particular function, as every other position in the body is going to also manifest Christ. Some a lot more than others. When signs and miracles come, obviously they get more attention. But we're just as valuable, which we're going to see right here.
For even in one spirit, we all into one body have been immersed, whether Jews or
Greeks. Start at 12.
For just as the body is one, and yet hath many members, but all members of the body, though many, are one body, so also the Christ. For even in one spirit, we all into one body have been immersed, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and all of one spirit have been caused to drink. For the body also is not one member, but many. Though the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not the body of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And though the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? But if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Or if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath Yahweh set the members, each one of them in the body, even as he pleased.
So remember that your position is where Yahweh has put you. You say, I don't know where my position is. What are you good at and what's on your heart? Do it. So do what you're good at. Don't do somebody else's position. You know, if you're not comfortable teaching or, you know, so Aaron's right now out prophesying to cab drivers, everything else. You know, he's just flourishing in these particular areas. So whatever you do, wherever you're planted, grow.
It's not my job.
Yeah, it's an 18.
But now hath Yahweh set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as he pleased. But if they all had been one member, where had been the body? Now, therefore, however, rather, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head unto the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more the members which seem to be weaker are necessary, and the parts of the body which we deem to be less honorable. On these more abundant honor do we bestow, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Whereas our comely parts have no need, but Yahweh have tempered the body together unto that which was lacking, giving more abundant honor. That there might be no division in the body, but that the members might have the same care, one for the other. And whether one member suffereth, all members suffer with it. Or a member is glorified, all the members glorify together. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members severally. And Yahweh hath indeed
set. Stop right there. So we are the members of the body of Christ, and so we've got to reevaluate. Why we can glow is we do what Yahweh says to do. We love our neighbor as ourselves. We obey this. Where a person should say, in the world, they're Christians. Why? Because they're not going to do what we're doing. Or I see it on their vehicle. I see their lifestyle. I see in their radiance, in their smile. Now we go to Romans 12. And many people are not going to see the recognition sometimes of their labors, but I think of Joseph Rothman, who did this Bible, doesn't have no idea that 100 years later we are reading from it. He won't get to see it when he gets resurrected, but just think of that kind of situation, because here's somebody translating the Bible. Where is he? He's in his house or office
by candlelight,
probably 12 hours a day for years. Communicating this stuff for years, and why did he do that? Because the Ruach spirit inside him was driving him. So we always got to remember: if I volunteer myself and say, "Let's go, I'm ready to go to work," that's what we want. That's what Christ needs to do, and then he's going to have you do things that you really enjoy. You know, well, it's a lot of work. But I enjoy this work. Mm-hmm. See, And that's Rotherham. You know, God, how many years it takes to do a translation. So the same way with our lives. So Romans 12. Here's another illustration, 1 through 21. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through the compassions of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto Yahweh, acceptable, your rational divine service. If you do that, people are going to see that. And be not configured yourself unto this age. If you do that, people are going to see that. You know, if you're against homosexuality, you're against robbery, you're against taking people's money, you know, taxation like the Democrat Party, you're against sodomy, you're against abortion, you're against stealing from the rich, you know, that there's a stamp that you're not conforming to this world. But be you transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our minds? We grab this word and we have to put it in here. To the end you may be proving what is the thing willed by God, the good and acceptable and perfect. Christ did exactly that. The thing willed by Yahweh, his Father, he did. And not what he wanted to do. He did what his Father wanted him to do. For I say, through the favor which has been given unto me, unto everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as you think soberly, as unto each one Yahweh hath dealt a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, yet all the members have not the same office. So we, the many, are one body in Christ, yet severally members one of another. Now having gifts of favor, according to the favor given unto us, differing, so our gifting is differing, whether prophesying, let us use it according to the proportion of our faith. People will say prophesying. It's just so sad because one thing you saw with this article is the modern church, and that was back in, early 1900s, modern church, there's no power. And basically, there's no power. So when they would say prophesy, well, that means inspired teaching. That's another word. You know, Yahweh can say inspired teaching. Mm-hmm. Or he can say prophesy.
Yeah.
But since they're not going to prophesy, when it says, we're going to see covenant to prophesy, well, covenant to speak, to preach inspiredly. So it's just man pushing away the manifestation of Christ. Because as we operate that spirit, Ruach, we walk in the supernatural. Yahweh can get by word of knowledge or word of wisdom, information that will affect you or you or you or this teaching. And it's going to be manifest. Because people say, how'd you know that? It went right to my heart. I didn't know that. Yeah. Yahweh knows that. And he knows who's coming and who needs what. Okay, back to 6. Now having gifts of favor according to the favor given unto us differently, whether prophesying according to the proportion of our faith, or ministering, using in our ministry, or he that teaches in his teaching, or he that exhorteth in his exhorting. And it goes all the way down, 19, not avenging yourself, beloved, but give place unto their anger, for it is written, mine is avenging, I will recompense, saith Yahweh. But if thy enemy hunger, be feeding him, if he thirst, be giving him drink. And this is obviously in context and moderation. I don't give a criminal who's a murderer
access to
eat, yeah, or access to my own. So that just goes without saying. For this doing, coals of fire shall thou be upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so if people sees our lives and we're overcome by evil, they're not going to see who?
Christ.
So we're not manifesting Christ. Mm-hmm. But when they look at you and all of a sudden something happens to you and you go, I'm just going to give that all to Yahweh, to Christ. Mm-hmm. And go on, holy mackerel. And here's just an example, I thought. And I didn't even know it, but we were camping out one particular time and I had my parents' car when I was 16. And somebody came to the car, we're in a campsite, broke out the window, which we didn't hear, and then opened the hood and took all the spark plug ignition wires off and just threw them out. And so we come to the car after we wake up. We come to the car, and all of a sudden this. And I'm like, okay, we'll get this worked out. And this guy later on said, I couldn't believe how you handled that. And so what we had to do is, you know, so I ended up, somebody had another car there. We went to, in town, to a place, and we could see how the wires were done by looking at another car engine. Came back, all the wires are there, so we could put it back on. Because otherwise, there's no way you can put on the wires, mm-hmm. you know, if you know anything about cars. And drove home, and all it does cost us the window. But to him, that was a manifestation.
A witness.
Of that. Yeah, a witness. Okay. And I didn't even realize it until maybe, you know, a week later he said that. So, overcoming evil with good. Now, we get into Holy Ruach. This is what the church is... It basically lacks, I mean, the church today, is the manifestation of spirit. So we go to 1 Corinthians 3. I'm not going to get into power yet, but if you ask most Christians, do you have spirit abiding within you? Most people say, I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I think, yeah, they, you know, Catholics, you know, see a Christian... Well, I'm a Catholic. They don't even know what the word Christian means. You know, it's a sad state because people are not instructed in these things. But we're going to see, okay, I'm supposed to be the exact representation of Christ, who is the exact representation of Yahweh. Well, I guess I need some help in that. I've given you it. It's called Ruach. It's called Spirit. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. Know ye not that you are a shrine? Debir.
What verse?
3:16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Okay. Now think of this. Remember the Ark of the Covenant. What was in it was the Word of Yahweh. The shrine was the Holy of Holies. That's where all this was. And so Yahweh abode above the Ark of the Covenant, which he's abiding over his word. We are the Holy of Holies. We are the shrine, and people should realize and say, that's a holy place. Look at this. What a privilege. Know ye not that you are the shrine, or debir of Yahweh? Now, the Greek word is naos. Naos can be any shrine of a false god also. So it's not necessarily. But in the Hebrew, it's the word debir.
How do you spell it?
D-E-B-I-R comes from Dabar, D-A-B-A-R, which means word. And so the ark was not special. What was special? What was in it?
Yeah.
It was the ten words. The word of Yahweh, which we got and being given it so we can renew our minds, so we can manifest Christ, which manifests Yahweh. And now that we are the debir, Yahweh actually abides. I just forget that.
Yeah.
You know, you think you're so helpless sometimes, decision making, everything else. Wait a minute here. I am the debir of Yahweh. He abides right in me. So I should be equipped for every occasion. Mm-hmm. If I'm keeping myself separated from the world. If I'm not separated from the world, you know, you got a lot of fuzz there. You know, you got, yeah. You know, it's like your radio. Tim Sauter said, you know, you have radio waves coming right through this building, TV waves, all sorts of things we can't see coming through this. But your TV can do that. Because when you turn it on, or your radio turn it on, it will, if we tune in, it will get the right channel, the right wave that we can't even see, but that's how you tune in to Ruach. Are you sensitive to it? If you're not, then you need to get that way and go exercise and go walk with Father, walk with Christ, and as children, start exercising that. And when you make a mistake, okay, you're trying. Babies fall all the time. And if they just laid on the ground, I quit.
Yeah.
Because I fell. I made a mistake. Don't do that. But 16, know you not that you are the shrine of Yahweh, and that the Spirit of Yahweh within you, what? Does dwell. We are the habitation of Yahweh through Christ. If anyone does mar the shrine of Yahweh, Yahweh will mar him. For the shrine of Yahweh is holy, and such are ye. We are holy. We are the shrine of Yahweh. Go to chapter 6. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot?
Ouch.
One great thing that we have is the Spirit that we've given. Let me just kind of go over that. The Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost because of Christ's sacrifice. He was holy and therefore accomplished for us what we could not do, to be holy enough to receive Spirit. So He made us holy, so that Spirit is given to us, not because we're holy, but because Christ died and we made Him our Lord and our Master. And so you think about it, it's almost like cell phones. So to all of my disciples, my followers, I'm going to give cell phones to you. I'm going to communicate with you.
Oh yeah, that's a good.
You know, this is a communication device, a power device too, because it can do a lot of things. Now He never takes it away, because Christ, we're doing it not because we deserve, because Christ deserved it. Now when you attach it to a harlot, a fornication, it's not going to be taken away. You know, because you didn't earn it in the first place. But the reception, you're not going to get. Because now you've separated yourself from Christ. You've separated. You can't be in a, you know, with fornicating and saying, hey, how much should I pay her? And the amount. Well, I mean, it's just, why not? Or anything else? Because, really, I'm going to respond to you? No, I'm not going to respond to you. Yeah. All of a sudden, hello, is this thing on? Yeah. Your cell phone. Hello, did you change your number? Or know you not that he that joined himself unto a harlot is one body? For saith he that two shall become one flesh, but he that joined himself unto the Lord is one spirit. And we got to watch ourselves on TV. This stuff is rampant. And you just got to turn it off. The fornication on sitcoms and everything else, it's just rampant. Flee fornication. Every sin where a man shall commit is outside the body, but he that committeth fornication bringeth sin in his own body. Or know ye not that your body is a debier of the Holy Spirit, a shrine of the Holy Spirit that is within you, which you have from God, and ye are not your own. Yahushua was born for a purpose, to do his Father's will. He did it and got exalted. We are born for a purpose, to do our Lord's will, which is our Father's will. We do it, we'll get rewarded. If we don't do it, we'll be judged. And you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Yahweh in your body. When you glorify Yahweh in your body, people notice. Mm-hmm. And then Christ is being manifest. And when an evil person is glorifying Satan in their body, is noticed.
Yeah.
And people notice. That's a wicked individual. Now we go to the power in Luke 24. For a lot of people who don't know, this is redundant with many things, but we got to get back to, you got to believe what the Word says. And people say, speaking in tongues, well, that was only for missionaries. And when they're in foreign countries and didn't know the language, and they do this and they teach the Bible. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, speaking in tongues is for God, for Yahweh. It's not for missionaries, it's for Yahweh. And it speaks divine secrets unto Him. And so just remember, we got so much religious lies out there. Okay, and here's what Christ said.
Chapter what?
Let's see, 24:49. And lo, I am sending forth the promise of my Father unto you, which is Ruach. But tarry you in the city until you be clothed from on high with what? Power. We go to Acts 1. When you say Spirit, it's synonymous. It's not synonymous, but that is to, when I say Spirit, that is to say power. When I say horsepower, that means to say power. You know, they're coming together. Dynamite, that is to say power. Dunamis. So Acts 1, 6-8. They therefore, having come together, began to question him, saying, Lord, art thou at this time duly establishing the kingdom unto Israel? He said unto him, it is not yours to get to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But, back on the subject, ye shall receive power.
Dunamis.
Yeah. When the Holy Spirit cometh upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the uttermost part of the world. We are to be witnesses. And somebody says, what is a witness? Is, do you know Christ? Yes, I do. I'm a witness.
Yeah.
Does he live in you? Yes, he does. Does Yahweh live in you? Yes, he does. And you want me to tell you about it? I can do that. How much time you got? Now we go to examples of people exercising this, and obviously the apostles did, Acts 3. And they can see Christ with, so wait a minute here, Christ we killed. So that should be the end of this stuff. One thing people cannot deny is the supernatural power. And this is man at the gate beautiful. And it's not Jesus. Well, we got rid of him. It's not Yahushua who's doing this. It's this fisherman. How in the heck does a fisherman do something? And this guy's been laid at the gate for 40 years. We've seen him there every day. And guess what? Ask any doctor, if you had legs that were never utilized, the muscles were never utilized for 40 years, how long would it take you to get those muscles to react if you were healed?
A long time.
Now, we had our son-in-law, he was in a hospital for 30 days, and, like, put into a coma on purpose. And it took just a month. And it took him a long time to relearn to get out of bed because his legs would start, it's called apathy.
Atrophy.
And so with a guy of 40, you cannot leap up. Even if your legs are healed, wait a minute. You haven't even learned to walk yet. Right? You're born crippled, so wait a minute. You got to learn to walk. You can't get up and then... No, he's leaping.
Jumping up.
He's falling over. No, he's not falling over.
He's got their
bounce. Hey, look at that. That's a great testimony. 4. But Peter, looking steadfastly at him, and John said, look on us. Now, why is he looking steadfastly? Because the ruach that's inside him is telling him, something's going to happen. Yeah. You're going to engage. And they might have walked by this guy many times. And he gave heed, look on us, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, the same unto thee do I give. In the name of Yahushua Mashiach, the Nazarene, walk.
Just get up. Walk.
It's like somebody in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And we got to be ready. You just got to be ready to deliver that person. And laying, what happens if they would have said, no, I can't do that, and they walked on and by. And they went into the temple, went to church. That guy probably would never walk for the rest of his life. So don't bypass these opportunities. And laying hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and instantly were his feet and ankles strengthened. And leaping forward, he stood and walked and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I mean, just phenomenal. That is Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's going to get the glory? God's getting the glory. And then Peter says, it's not us, and they know it's not us. But then we look at the high priest and stuff, chapter 4, verse 7. And sitting in the midst, they began to inquire, in what manner of power or what manner of name did you do this? And that's what people ask us. Where'd you get this power? And so when you prophesy for somebody, it's going to, if they have an open heart, it's going to confirm the words that you're giving to them is, there's no way I could know. And so they're going to know there was a connection here, a divine connection. Because you don't know me, I'm a stranger to you, I can give you a prophecy, and Yahweh's going to talk to you through me, or anybody who will prophesy. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders, If we this day are to be examined for doing good to a sick man in whom this man hath been made well, be it known unto you and unto all the people of Israel that in the name of Yahushua Mashiach the Nazarene, whom ye crucified. Now also, Yahweh is going to say at different times, you speak the truth in love. Are they going to like it? No, they're not going to like it. Are you going to do what I say? Did Christ, when Christ said, you brood of vipers, who was telling him to say that?
Yahweh
was. You brood, you hypocrites, woe unto you, Capernaum. Woe unto you, saying, you know, you're going to get worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. What? That's not how you build a church. But that's what Yahweh told him to say. He tells us to say, you say it. Whom you crucified, whom Yahweh awoke from among the dead, raises Igaro, and him doth this man stand by you in his presence whole. And they say, a notable miracle has been done. They know without a shout. And instead of getting down on their knees and saying, we repent, we did crucify him. They didn't. Maybe some might have, but they didn't, and they just made things even worse, because now, like Gamaliel said, if this is of man, it's going to end. If it's of Yahweh, you cannot fight against Yahweh. Yeah. Now we go to Stephen. So these are apostles. Okay. Well, those are apostles. Well, how about Stephen? Chapter 6, verse 8. Now Stephen, full of favor and power, this is great, why? He had the Holy Ruach, just like all of us have, began to do great wonders and signs among the people. Now, if you go over here in verse 15, and looking steadfastly at him, all they who were sitting in the high council saw his face as if the face of a messenger. So, was that a testimony? Is that a witness? They say, man, oh man. Have we missed it? But guess what? If you walk according to what Yahweh says, are you going to have adversaries?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Right. Did Stephen have adversaries? Did Yahushua have adversaries? Yeah. Did Peter? Peter was put into prison by Herod. Why? Because when he murdered James, it pleased who? The Jews. Mm-hmm. He saw that, and it says that, it saw that it pleased the Jews that they murdered a man, an innocent man, Apostle James. God, that's a church. In many churches, that's it. And that's why the spirit is quenched, extinguished. Let's go to Philip, chapter 8. He was another person, not an apostle. 4-8. Chapter 8, verses 4-8. They indeed, therefore, who were scattered abroad, passing through, telling good news of the word, and Philip, going down unto the city of Samaria, proclaimed unto them the Mashiach. And the multitude began to give heed unto the things that were being spoken by Philip, with one accord, when they heard him and saw the signs which he was working. What did the signs do? They were a confirmation of what? Of Yahweh, of Christ being in him. That Christ was actually raised.
The Mashiach.
Yeah, that he's actually is alive. You say he's alive, well, how do you prove that? Watch, you know, look at this. Well, a human being can't do that. That's a sign that what I'm saying is true. For many who had impure spirits, you know, we got them around us too, with a loud voice, they were going out, and many that were paralyzed and lame were cured. Look at that, paralyzed. God. Think of that. And lame were cured. And there came to be great joy in that city. Man. Verse 13. And Simon himself also believed, and having been immersed, was in constant attention on Philip, and beholding signs and, not works, great works of power coming to pass, was astonished. Did they see Christ? Yes, they did. We manifest Yahweh. Now we go to Paul, chapter 15. He's an apostle. Okay. 15, verse 12. And And all the throng held their peace and began to hearken unto Barnabas and Paul, relating how many signs and wonders God had done among the nations through them. Let's go to 19, verse 1, chapter 19, signs and wonders. Now, they obviously needed, because they didn't have the book that we have. They had the Old Covenant, but not they did not have the Gospels and everything else, and so Yahweh had to prove that what they were saying is true, because otherwise they're saying not to get circumcised. Well, that's against the law of Moses, against the law of Abraham. You have to be circumcised, and so the only reason I can say we don't have to be circumcised anymore because of the signs that you are doing are validating which that Yahweh is giving you these words by these signs. Okay, 19:1-12. And it came to pass while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passing through the upper parts came to Ephesus and found certain disciples, and he said to them, Holy Spirit received you when you believed? We should ask that to everybody. And every Christian would say, yeah, I don't know. And they said unto him, nay, not even whether there is Holy Spirit did we hear. We know there's a God, the Holy Spirit. They all know that. And there's, you know, that's a whole other subject. No, the gift of Holy Spirit, do you have it? Yes, prove it. That's a simple question. Speaking in tongues. Everybody can do that. Everybody can prophesy. Everybody can interpret. That's a manifestation of the free gift. And he said, into what thing were you immersed? And they said, into John's immersion. And so that's really today, people have the cell phone, they have the Holy Spirit, but it's powered off. They got to power it on. And then said Paul, John immersed with the immersion of repentance unto the people, saying that on him who was coming after him they should believe, that is, on Yahushua. And when they heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Yahushua. And Paul laying hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began, what? Speaking with tongues and prophesying. And all the men were about 12. Let's go to 11. Many works also, not the ordinary, Yahweh was working through the hands of Paul, so that even unto the sick were being carried from his body handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases were departing from him, and the wicked spirits were going out. There's the signs again. There's a manifestation that Christ is in this person. 1 Corinthians 14. And we'll get into, you have to, if you're going to enter in this, you have to prophesy, you have to speak in tongues, and you have to interpret. There's 9 manifestations. Did you ever memorize those?
Not memorize.
Can you even get a hint? Tongues of interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. Okay, 9 manifestations of the gift Holy Spirit. 0.
I tried to say it, and okay, he started
proceed.
Doing what?
Oh. Proceed.
Healing, tongues of interpretation, tongues, prophesying, discerning of spirits. I said healing.
That's good. That's 5. 5 out of 9. Well, that's a D, I guess. It's not an F. Because 4.5 would be a 50% grade.
All right. 63.7.
It should be just automatic. It's just, you always start off with tongues. Tongues are the interpretation of prophecy. That's 1 Corinthians 14. The information, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Those are the information. Second phase. Third phase is miracles, healings, mighty works.
Those are the ones I
or discerning know. Spirits. Yeah, and so, no, discerning spirits wasn't the other one. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. Faith. Okay. But right here, 14:1, pursue love, nevertheless be envious of the spiritual gifts is not in the text. And rather that you may be...
Wait a minute, what was not in the text?
The gifts. Oh. He put it in there. Word is, the new spiritual is pneumaticos. So man wants to put the word gifts in there because they want to call them spiritual gifts. They're not gifts. And that's a whole other teaching. And in his original translation, he didn't have gifts. Yangs doesn't have gifts, and even in the Old King James, you'll have it in italics, the word gifts, because they added it. Spirit is pneumonikos. Spiritual is pneumonikos. It says, be envious of the spiritual, the pneumonikos, and rather that you may be what?
Prophesying.
Prophesying. And what is prophesying? 24. But if all be prophesying, and there coming one who is unbelieving or unskilled, he is convicted by all. Why? Because these are words of Yahweh. He is searched by all. The secrets of his heart become manifest. Who knows the secrets of his heart? Yahweh. I don't know the secrets of his heart. And so falling down upon his face, he will do homage unto Yahweh, reporting that in reality Yahweh is among you. That is, that represents Christ, which represents Yahweh. That is why we're supposed to do it. And most people have taken 1 Corinthians 14 and ripped it out of their Bible. Well, I'm not going to rip it out. Well, if you're not going to do it, what did you just do?
Yeah.
It's even worse. That's in your Bible and you don't do it. At least you could cut it out and say, well, somebody cut it out of my Bible. Have somebody else cut it out for you. Otherwise, you get it. Would anybody think about who cut it out and why and what was that they cut out? So even that, it's not going to fly. So we're made in the image of Elohim. We are little Elohims, little gods, to manifest our big God, Yahweh, to manifest Christ.
That dude.
Go ahead and read the second thing.
The man with the Mashiach in him, the Holy Spirit, is greater than any other power in the world. All other natural and evil powers are less than Yahweh. Even Satan himself is a lesser power. Man with, should I say God or Yahweh?
No, just write what he says.
Man with God in him is greater than Satan. That is the reason that God says to the believer, he shall cast out devils. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Christian, therefore, is a ruler. He's in the place of dominion, the place of authority. Even as Yahushua was, Yahushua, knowing that all power had been given unto him, took a basin and a towel and washed his disciples' feet. His power did not exalt him. It made him the humblest of all men. So the more power a Christian manifests, the more of a servant he will be. God is the great servant of the world.
God is the greatest servant. I never even thought about that. Go ahead. Read that sentence again.
God is the great servant of the world, the one who continually gives to men the necessity of the hour. Through his guidance and direction of the laws of the world, he provides for all the needs of mankind. He is the great servant of the world, the greatest of all servants. Yea, Yahushua, knowing that all power had been committed to him, and as God gave the power to Yahushua, so Yahushua commits through the Holy Ghost power to man.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's John G. Lick again. We are sons of God. Let's go to Galatians 4.
And that's the song we are.
Okay. Galatians 4. Verse 4. If you're a son of God, you're kind of impotent. You don't have any power. I mean, it should be. Yeah. Does Yahweh want that? No, he wants to be power. And actually, how do you avoid all these things? How do these things do not affect you? That doesn't mean adversity doesn't come. No, adversity comes. But how you handle it and all the, you know, the other things that you avoid by Yahweh redirecting your steps, and it saves you catastrophe. So if you're going on a vacation, you can ask, is it okay? Do I need to know anything? If you're making some big decision, I'm stopping. Is this the right decision? And if it's not, let me know. I'm going to go this way unless you let me know. And so I'm over and over and over. You've got to be seeking guidance, seeking guidance. Because you have the receiver, you have the cell phone inside you. Okay, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, Yahushua sent forth his son, That's his son. We are also the sons of Yahushua, who came to be of a woman, who came to be under the law, that them who are under the law he might redeem, that the sonship we might duly receive. So we are sons and daughters of Yahweh. And because you are sons, Yahweh has sent forth the Ruach of his son, the spirit or the life of his son, into our hearts, exclaiming, Abba, O Father. And that no longer art thou a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir also of Yahweh, through Yahweh. Wow. We forget we're in the world, and I think the world, hypnotizes us, where we become infected, where we don't see ourselves on who we actually really are. So we've got to be woken up again. Born of God, I'm not going to go there, but that's 1 John 3:9, chapter 4, verse 7, chapter 5, verse 1, 4, and 18. You are born of God. We are born of God. Now, we need to find out our position. John G. Lake was a unique person who really walked out on the supernatural. Did everything go right? No, but just give an example. Here's the end of this article. It's a good one. For 15 years, God has let me move among all manner of contagious diseases, and I have never taken one of them. The devil could not make me take them. I have prayed with smallpox patients when the pustules would burst under the touch of my hand. So he's getting contaminated. I have gone home to my wife and babies and never carried contagious to me. I was in the secret places of the Most High. Indeed, contact with diphtheria, smallpox, leprosy, and even bubonic plague and the whole range of disease was part of my daily life in connection with the work of the Apostolic Church of South Africa. This is when he's in South Africa. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So here's a person that did it. Now, where he did go wrong is he believed that you would never go to a doctor that was insulting Yahweh. And that's a big mistake, and I've seen other people make the same mistake. And go to Yahweh first all the time. If your faith doesn't get to that point, you go to a doctor. Now, if I have a toothache, I can believe to be healed. If I cannot believe to be healed, go to a dentist. It's just so much easier to have a feeling, and guess what? It will fix it. If you have a broken bone, they can reset it. And he used Asa. Asa was a great king, but it says when he got diseased in his feet, he did not seek Yahweh, but he sought physicians. Just go to him first, and you give him all you got. And if it doesn't go to Yahweh, he's not going to be upset for you to go to a physician. And so keep that in mind. So sometimes people go overboard, and John G. Lake died in 65, and because he probably didn't see a doctor, so he was a healer, probably brought deliverance to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Alexander Dye was the same way. I mean, he went to a doctor and died in his 60s. So he's got to realize those particular facts. Okay, so we'll end, and I'll give a prophecy to people. Now, Father, we thank you for these words. Mashiach Yahushua. Be bold, and because you are courageous. You are my victors. You are the ones I have called to be my body members in order to inform others of the power and ability that I put inside them and also you. So exercise that power. Speak my words. My words speak are words of truth, and they will deliver people from the power of darkness. Put away the customs of men and look to my word. If it's not in my word, do not believe it. Amen. See you next week.